Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Well, I am so excited to be in Esther with you today. And that introduction from Tiffany last week was just amazing, wasn't it? And aren't we just so excited to see what God has in store? I love the book of Esther. And today we're going to be in Esther chapter 1 together. And the title of the message is Don't Just Do It. And we're going to be looking at two points together. Take the stand, trust his plan. Now, you can go ahead and make your way to Esther chapter 1 if you're not already there. And let's just open up the morning in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much, God, for just this time and this opportunity, Lord, to open up your word, Father, and to see what you would have to show us, God. And I just pray that you would speak to us, Father, what you want us to see through your word, through this amazing story, God, so we give today into your hands and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you may have taken a little bit of a step back when I said the title of the message was Don't Just Do It. Because in our society, we hear the exact opposite, right? And we see that phrase emblazoned on everything, sweatpants, t-shirts, you know, just do it, right? But how many times in our life as women have we just done it and really regretted it after? Okay, so let me give you some funny examples. Like the time you thought you'd cut your hair, like the celebrity that you saw, and you just thought, if I cut my hair like her, I'm gonna look like her, right? Somehow we think, you know, we'll look just like them. So we go in and we say, just do it, just cut it off, right? And then 20 minutes later, we're like, I shouldn't have just done that, right? I've been there, I did it. Or that time you were at Target and you were looking through all the hair dyes and you're like, ooh, I think I'm gonna do a nice chocolate brown. And you have the box in your hand and like, I can do this, right? I'm just gonna do it. I'm just gonna dye my hair. And then you wash that dye out and it's not chocolate brown, it's midnight tar and you look like Morticia Adams. This happened to me. This actually happened. I had black hair for a really long time. Or the time you thought you'd start the Whole 30 diet, right? And you think it's time to get in shape. I'm gonna do this Whole 30 thing. And you know, you realize you shouldn't have just done it because 24 hours later, you wake up chewing your pillow thinking it's a sprinkled donut, right? I mean, people ask me, have you ever done the Whole 30 diet? I'm like, sure, for a whole 30 seconds. Or the one time we took the third slice of cake because we thought, I'm just gonna do it. Two words, sugar diabetes. Do you remember that commercial with that guy? I love it. And we all know about the one time we got up to the check stand and we had way too many things we were going to buy. We knew we shouldn't have done it, but we pulled out the credit card and we went, just charge it, right? And a month later, we realized we shouldn't have done it. And how about the one time you had the perfect opportunity to give a person your peace of mind, right? A friend, a coworker, a family member, and it was just the right moment, you had just the right words, and you just said it. And then all of a sudden, you think, ooh, I shouldn't have just done that, right? And then the regret hits. Now, those are really kind of funny, silly examples, and they're not really life-altering, thank the Lord. But I believe that in our life, we're going to be filled with decisions. You can fill in the blank. Where we're going to have two options. The times where it seems easier to just do it instead of doing what we know is right. And that's what we're going to talk about together today. And that brings up our first point, take the stand. So let's start reading in Esther chapter 1, verse 1 together. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This was the Ahasuerus who reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. In those days, when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the citadel, that in the third year of his reign, he made a feast for all of his officials and servants, the powers of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of the provinces being before him. when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty for many days, 180 days in all. And when these days were completed, the king made a feast lasting 7 days for all the people who were present in Shushan, the citadel, from great to small, in the court of the garden of the king's palace. There were white and blue linen curtains fastened with cords of fine linen, purple on silver rods and marble pillars. The couches were of gold, silver, on a mosaic pavement of alabaster, turquoise, white, and black marble. And they served drinks in golden vessels, each vessel being different from the other, with royal wine in abundance, according to the generosity of the king. In accordance with the law, the drinking was not compulsory, for the king had ordered all the officials of his household that they should do according to each man's pleasure. Queen Vashti also made a feast for the women in the royal palace, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehumam, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abigtha, Zether, and Carcass, 7 eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing her royal crown, in order to show her beauty to the people and the officials, for she was beautiful to behold. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command brought by his eunuchs. Therefore, the king was furious, and his anger burned within him. Wow. That's a lot going on in the first chapter, right? We see a lot going on. We're introduced to King Ahasuerus, and in other translations, it's King Xerxes. That's his name in the Greek, so it's interchangeable. And we read that this king, for 6 months, shows off the wealth of his kingdom. And then after that, for 7 days, he throws a feast. So it's pretty clear to see right away that this king is kind of showboating, right? He's showing himself off. He's rich, he's powerful, he's handsome, and he wants everyone to know it, okay? A 6-month-long show-off. And we read in verses 7 to 8 that during the 7-day feast, the wine was served liberally. That basically means that everyone could drink as much as they wanted for 7 straight days. Now, when I read those 2 verses, I thought to myself, this is a recipe for disaster. Nothing but drinking for 7 days. So at that point, we read that when the king's heart was merry with wine, he called Vashti to come. Now, what does it mean that his heart was merry with wine? He was drunk. He was drunk. That's the bottom line. He was drunk. You can only imagine. And if you've ever been around people who are drunk, you know that things can get scary, inappropriate, and ugly pretty quick, right? It doesn't take long. So here's the king in this drunken state, calling for Queen Vashti to come down and show her beauty. In verse 11, it says he wanted her to wear her crown in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles, for she was lovely to look at. Now, this might sound kind of innocent at first glance. Oh, the king wants to show off his beautiful wife. I'm not sure it was quite that innocent. Maybe this was another showboat moment for the king. Like, woohoo, look at my wife, right? And here's all of these drunken men, all of these drunken people that are going to be looking at her. Now, because we know she's beautiful, we have to wonder, what kind of things and phrases would have been thrown at Vashti? What inappropriate things may have she been asked to do? We don't know. And Vashti's response in verse 12, she says, she refused to come at the king's demand delivered by the eunuchs. So when Vashti was faced with this request, she refuses. Now, this is a huge deal. This is massive. She wasn't just refusing her husband. She was refusing the king. This is huge, with big consequences. And we see what a big deal it was, because in verse 11, the king is furious. It says his wrath burned within him. This man is angry. Now, why did Vashti refuse? Well, we're not given a clear answer in Scripture. We don't know. We're told a few possibilities. Commentaries state different things. But I loved what our study said this week, and I'm going to read a portion of it. Our study says, Vashti is usually cast in a positive or negative light for refusing the king's command. Was she a rebellious wife or a woman with strong conviction or both? The text doesn't really say what Vashti's reasons were, but her decision had long-term consequences. We all have times when a situation beyond our control comes up and a choice has to be made. Sometimes with short notice or none at all. The pressure is on. We react, weigh the options, do what's right, what's easiest, what's safe, do what others expect you to do. It's been said that you make your choices and then your choices make you. Wow, I thought that was really, really powerful. It's important for us to understand that Vashti was not a Christian or a godly woman to our knowledge. We don't know that. But she made a decision with conviction. Warren Wiersbe states in his comment on this chapter, he says, the refusal of Vashti to obey an order which required her to make an indecent exposure of herself before a company of drunken revelers was becoming both the modesty of her sex and her rank as queen. For according to Persian customs, the queen, even more than the wives of other men, was secluded from public gaze. Had not the king's blood been heated with wine or his reason overpowered by force of offended pride, he would have perceived that his own honor, as well as hers, was consulted by her dignified conduct. So whatever the case, she refuses and giant consequences ensue. A point that can't be missed here, ladies, is that Vashti knew the consequences of her decision. She knew this was big because back then it wasn't like it is today. We see all of this, I am woman, hear me roar, right? And I'm going to stand up for my rights. Okay, back then, it wasn't like that. You didn't stand up for your rights. You had no rights. You listened and you did what you were told to do. And if you were the queen, you listened to the king. Because if you didn't, and he got angry enough, you could be put to death. So she knew what she was doing. She absolutely knew. But we go on to read that the king, after hearing this, he gets furious, gets really, really mad, and he consults with the other nobles around him and the wise men of the time, asking them what he should do. And if you go on to read the chapter, it says that they all get together and they decide that if the other women in the country hear about what Vashti did, they're all going to revolt against their husbands. It's going to be a giant mess. And so they just need to remove Vashti. Her crown needs to be taken away. She's no longer queen. And the king listens. He does it. She's removed as queen. Her crown is taken away. And she's no longer even allowed in the king's presence. It sounds a little bit like an overreaction. But my Bible commentary stated that not only did he have his military credibility to uphold, and that was directly related to your power over your wife, but there might have also been a little bit of pride in there because King Ahasuerus was used to getting what he wanted. That's what it said. And I can see that. And after showboating for 180 days and then a 7-day feast, we kind of get this idea that how dare Vashti refuse him, right? So one thing that I thought was really cool after reading all this, I'm like, okay, Lord, I love what chapter 2, verse 1 says. And I'm just going to read that verse to you because it goes later on in the story. But in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, later, when the anger of King Ahasuerus subsided, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what had been decreed about her. And my commentary stated that that phrase, he remembered her, may mean that he began to miss her, that he possibly could have regretted what he had done. And we see that. Maybe once the alcohol wore off, he realized what he had done. I think an important side note for each and every one of us this morning is that nothing good comes from drunkenness. Nothing. Only regret after the hangover wears off, right? Nothing good. I love what Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 says. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Wise decisions cannot be made under the influence of alcohol. It can't. So in all of this, we have to remember, though, that God's sovereign hand was on everything that happened, correct? Vashti's refusal paved the way for Esther to become queen. And we'll look at that in a few moments. God always has the final say. He always knows what he's doing, even if we can't see it. So we might be thinking, okay, but how does this relate to me today? How does this relate to me as a woman of God? Well, again, our first point, take the stand. Vashti wasn't a believer, but she made a difficult decision. I believe that there will be times in each and every one of our lives as women of God where we're going to be faced with difficult decisions. Decisions that test our faith and our trust in God. Decisions where we're going to have two choices to either just do it, whatever it is, out of peer pressure, fear, or guilt, or we're going to do what we know is right, regardless of the consequences. So I wanted to give you some examples here today that I think the Lord put on my heart of situations that you might be facing right now that maybe the Lord wants you to take a stand in and not just do whatever it is. Maybe some of you are working in a non-Christian environment. I'm sure many of you are. You're working for an ungodly employer and you have non-Christian coworkers. And maybe there's that temptation for you to do things that the people above you are asking you to do that you're not comfortable with. Maybe it's kind of fudging the numbers, or maybe doing things that are dishonest to get a sale, or maybe because you're a woman, you've been tempted to use your body or other things to get where you want to get in that business. Whatever it might be, it could also be that your job is asking you to sacrifice more time with your family, asking you to work hours that you don't think you should work, sacrificing church on Sundays or even Bible study on Thursdays. And maybe it's time to take a stand and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that thing. I'm going to stand for what the Lord has put on my heart, even if it costs me my job. Maybe for some of you, you're trying to make decisions about your future, what college you're going to go to, what job you're going to pursue. And I just want to ask you, are you listening to the Lord? Maybe some of you are getting ready to graduate high school, or maybe you're contemplating going to college. Are you listening to the Lord's direction for your life? You know, I may say something a little controversial here, but not everybody is called to go to college. God might have something else for you. Some of you might be called to the mission field. Some of you might be called to just work faithfully at a job until you get married and become a mom and a wife one day. I know for me, when I graduated high school, I just knew for me that God did not call me to go to college. And this was not a popular decision. But I really believed that God wanted me to just focus on him, focus on my ministry here at the church, work hard, and then one day when he brought me a husband, become a wife and a stay-at-home mom. That was not a popular decision. And thank the Lord, I had the support of my amazing parents, but I didn't have a lot of support from people in the church or even in the world. I had to take a stand and say, this is what God has for my life. So you have to make sure that you're listening to what God has calling you to do. Now, maybe some of you are in college right now and you're in classes with professors that are not Christians. And it is a volatile situation. And you sit in there in that classroom and you're the scared Christian in the corner because everyone is against Jesus, right? I mean, we're dealing with atheist professors now and people that are just against God and anything to do with him. God wants you to take a stand in that college classroom. He wants you to stop being quiet and stand up for what's right, for what you believe in. Say it. Talk about God. Raise your hand. Wait a minute. I have a thought I'd like to add. And you know what? You might get a bad grade. You might, but Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, everyone who acknowledges me here on earth publicly, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. There are blessings when we stand for the name of Christ. There are blessings. another decision some of you might be feeling, maybe some of you working moms, you might be feeling the nudge to quit your job and stay home with your kids. This is another huge decision that is not popular in our society. And I remember when I was faced with that decision, it was years ago, and I wish I could have all day to tell you all the amazing ways God provided for us, but I was scared to death to quit my job. But I knew that God wanted me to be a stay-at-home mom. And I was scared. Our income was literally going to go almost in half. When I pulled out the calculator, it didn't add up. Are you kidding me? I was scared to death. I'm like, Lord, we won't even pay the bills. We won't have food to eat. But guess what? We did it. Me and my husband, we said, this is what God wants. And you know what? He has provided every single day. Every day. It's been incredible. It's been incredible. But it was a leap of faith. It was a stand that I had to take because I knew God wanted me to do it. Now, for some of you, I really believe you may be in a relationship here today. Maybe it's a boyfriend. Maybe it's a fiance. And maybe you've been making compromises in that relationship that you know you shouldn't be. I think for us as women, whether we're young or we're older, we want to feel loved. We all want the Hallmark movie romance. Right? Now, don't act like you don't watch those movies, okay? I do. They're really good. But we all want that, right? We all want to feel loved. We all want to feel special. So many of us, we want that ring on the finger, and we want that Instagram romance. But sometimes we're willing to compromise our purity and our faith to have it because we don't want to lose it. And I just want to encourage each one of you ladies that if you're in a relationship where you're being physically tempted, or you're even sleeping with that guy, I'm just going to say it. It's time to take a stand in that relationship and say no. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And later in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we read, don't be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness, or light with darkness? If you're in a relationship that is causing you to compromise your faith or your purity in any way, it's got to go. And yes, you may have to break off that relationship. But let me just give you a word of encouragement. What relief, what freedom, and what peace you will have when you finally listen to the Lord. And don't we want that peace? Because we all know that as long as we are resisting God and what he's telling us to do, you don't have a peace, do you? There's no peace. And you can try to slap on a happy face and turn on the music and try to drown it out. But until you listen to the Lord, you're not going to have peace. The definition of peace is freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. I love this quote by Thomas A. Kempis. He will easily be content and at peace whose conscience is pure. And I love this by Francis Chan. He says, God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to trust him so completely that we are unafraid to put ourselves in situations where we will be in trouble if he doesn't come through. I love that. There's going to be many situations, circumstances, and decisions in our lives as women of God that we're going to have to make, that we're going to have to take a stand. It may be taking a stand in one of those areas I mentioned. It could be something else that God is tugging on your heart right now. You might be thinking, oh, well, she didn't mention that, so I'm off the hook. No, God could be putting something entirely different on your heart right now. And you might be thinking, oh, okay. It might be taking a stand in your unbelieving family. So many of us have unbelieving family members that we just kind of hide out like, I'm not going to say anything. Take a stand. Tell them the word of God. Share the gospel. They may not like you, but do it. As a mom, are you taking a stand with your children? Are you raising them in the ways of God? This is huge, ladies. This is huge. You need to take a stand as a mother and raise your children to love God, whether they want to hear it or not. They're not going to dress like the world. They're not going to talk like the world. They're not going to watch the TV shows the world watches. They're not going to have smartphones. Forget it. Sorry, not going to happen. They're not going to be allowed to be a girl if they're a boy, or be a boy if they're a girl. It's time to take a stand. It's up to you, Mom. No one else is going to stand up for your children except for you. No one else is going to tell them God loves them and died to save them except for you. They're not going to hear it at school. They're not going to get it from the TV. Lord knows they're not going to get it on Instagram or any other social media platform. They have to hear it from you. And you know what? Even if when they grow up and leave the house, they go off the rails and they do their own thing and they fall away, at least you will know that you did what you were called to do. You prayed for them. You loved them. And you know what? The Bible says if you're faithful to do that, you're faithful to train them up in the way of the Lord. It says when they're old, they will not depart from it. They may be prodigals now, but God's after them, ladies. God's after them, and he's going to bring them back. So don't give up. Stand up for your kids. What is it for you here today that God is saying, take a stand? It may not end well. Because in theory, we think, oh yeah, I'm going to take a stand. But we all know that it might be hard. We all know that you might lose the job. You might get a bad grade. You might have to break off that relationship. You might lose a friendship. But if you're doing what God's called you to do, he is for you and he is not against you. I love the story of Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego. It's one of my favorites, and it was referenced in the lesson. I said, thank you, God. And I love, because I'm a mom, VeggieTales. I'm not really into the newer ones because it's kind of changed companies, and I don't think, well, we'll just leave it at that. But I like the old VeggieTales from like 15 years ago. They were very scripturally accurate. So I like the old ones. And one of the old ones was Rack, Shack, and Benny. Okay? So it was loosely paraphrased on that story. And my son's been watching it all week, so the songs have been stuck in my head. And long story short, Rack, Shack, and Benny go to work at the chocolate factory for Mr. Nezer, making chocolate bunnies. And one day, Mr. Nezer the cucumber decides that he's going to erect a giant bunny. And at a certain time of day, they all have to bow down and sing the bunny song. And so the bunny song goes like this. The bunny, ooh, I love the bunny. I don't love my mom or my dad, just the bunny. I won't go to church and I won't go to school. That stuff is for sissies. Bunnies are cool. Okay. Okay. So I've literally woken up every morning this week with that song in my head. So who writes this stuff? But in the movie, Rack, Shack, and Benny know this is wrong. I love how they relate to kids. They know it's wrong, and they don't do it. And I love the song that plays after that. It says, stand up for what you believe in. God, he's the one to back you up. He'll stand with you. He'll stand with you. I love that. It's so simple. A child could understand it. When you take a stand, God will stand with you. So if you haven't seen that VeggieTales, go buy it in the bookstore today. That's your homework, okay? You'll love it. It's fantastic. So after we take the stand, it's not easy, right? It may not have the best outcome in the moment. So what do? Well, that brings us to our second point. We trust his plan. We trust his plan. So going back to Esther, we read that when she's asked to come display her beauty, she refuses. The king's anger burns. He has authority and credibility to uphold. And then she's removed. She's no longer allowed in his presence. Is that the end of the story? No. We know from the rest of the story that we're going to be looking at in the next few weeks, Vashti's refusal led to Esther becoming queen, which led to God saving his people. Without Vashti's refusal, there would have never been an Esther on the throne. Without Vashti's refusal, there would have never been an Esther on the throne. God is always weaving his plan through our life. He's always doing things that we can't necessarily see in the moment. I love Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You may not see it now. You may not see that taking a stand is a good thing now. It may turn out bad or hard or difficult right now, but God is working. He is moving. He's doing something that you might not see till 20 years from now. You know, you might not see the good part today, tomorrow, next month, 6 years from now, 40 years from now. You might not see it till you get to heaven, but he's doing something in your obedience that you might not see, and he's going to work it together for good. So we may think, is that the end of the line for Vashti? I mean, is that it? You know, she's removed from the throne. Well, we don't really ever hear about her again, do we? But one thing I found out historically that I had no clue was that later on down the line, when King Ahasuerus kicks the bucket and dies, guess who takes his place as king? Vashti's son. Isn't that incredible? I just had to stop and think about that for a second. So even though she was removed as queen, she wasn't allowed in the king's presence, her son still became heir to the throne. That's incredible. And you know, I kind of thought it was just a little nugget in there that maybe God wanted me to see that he is working things out. You never know what God is doing. And how neat that must have been for Vashti all those years later to see her son become king. It's pretty cool. God's plans for us are good. They're not bad. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I love what Pastor Greg says so often. Don't be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. So as we close today, I just want to encourage you, each one of you ladies, that if there's something that God has been putting on your heart today, don't wait another minute. Take a stand. Go home today and just surrender it to the Lord. Ask him, God, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to take a stand? How can I trust you in this? God, stand with me. Help me, because I can't do it on my own. And ladies, he will. He loves you. He loves you, and he will stand with you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, I just thank you so much, God, for your word, Lord, and your love for us, God, and all the amazing ways that you let us know that you're here and you're with us. And if we'll just be obedient to you in every area of our life, you will bless us and you will stand with us, God. And I pray, Lord, over these women that you would help them, God, in whatever areas they may be thinking of here today, to trust you and to take a stand. God, we thank you for this beautiful day, and we just pray you'd bless the rest of our day together. In Jesus' name, amen.